Hi, welcome to the very first episode of Voice Notes from Bhav. I've been meaning to start this podcast for a while now, and because I love sharing little snippets of my life, thoughts, experiences, and lessons that I feel like those random, meaningful voice notes that we send our closest friends. So yeah, in this very first episode, I thought it would make sense to start from the beginning, which is the story of why I moved to the UK and what my initial days were like. So it's going to be a mix of excitement, chaos, homesickness, and a lot of growth. And I'm really excited to share all of that with you. So feel free to go grab a cup of coffee or any warm drink, get comfy, and let's dive in. Okay, so let's start with why I even thought about moving abroad in the first place. I think it's because of my father. Since my childhood, I grew up listening to his stories because he moved to Delhi to do his master's in botany. And he used to tell me all his university stories, how he enjoyed his life in the university and everything. I really, really got inspired, like living his life by himself. He cooked food for himself when he didn't know how to cook. I think, yeah, I just got inspired, and I really want to live the life he lived. But it's obviously, back then he moved only the states and I moved countries. That's the only difference. But most of it is so similar, trust me. So yeah, I think that was the reason. And it really, really got serious after my bachelor's. So that's when actual career plans started to hit. And I started applying universities, and I did it both to Canada and the UK. But firstly, the option was Canada. And I really did get a seat in British Columbia in some university. But I really had to turn it down due to some personal reasons. And also, I think at that point, I was really thinking about going somewhere a little bit nearer. Canada was a little bit far for me to, like, whenever I want to travel back. But UK is like in the midpoint. So I took offer from UK University. And that's how it just got confirmed, and everything was all in place. It was very quick, and in my head all the excitement started. I was only dreaming about this young girl moving abroad, like the way they show in the movies. You're in the university figuring out your life and everything. So little did I think about how much I'll be missing home, my parents, my life back there. I never thought anything about that at all. And yeah, it just went by, and it was December that when I first moved to Edinburgh. So when I packed everything, and it was the day that I need to fly at the airport, I didn't shed even a drop of tear, nor my father. It was just my mother crying. Just like in every household, mothers are really soft, and they just can't take their little kid flying somewhere very far they can't see for like maybe years. At that point, I was only excited. Just excited, trust me. I was very, very, very young. The teenage girl's excitement and full of energy to explore what life is holding me in the UK. And my father was very brave. He was like, I know she'll figure it out. I have 100% confidence on her. But he did say me, if you think it's not for you, if you feel even little like, you know, no, this is not for me, just come back. You don't have to worry about money, this, you know, they spend this much money, I have to do this, I have to do that. Don't ever think. I think that's the support he has given me since my childhood. He never like said, you know, I'm paying this much for you, you need to study, you need to get good grades. But I was always on good grades, guys. But it's just that I think he's the best. He's my therapist. He's everything, because I speak everything unfiltered with him. I don't have to filter or be afraid of talking anything to my father or mother, even both of them. But I'm very, very close to my father. And so he was very brave. He was just like, no, she can do it. She is my girl. She is the bravest one. And yes, my mother cried like till the last moment I said goodbye at the airport. And that's it. I am in the flight. And because I always flew in the local flights within India, it was not like, it was just like an hour and 1.5 hour, but this one was a long flight and was very up in the sky, and my feet started to feel cold. These were like the awkward, silly, foolish moments I think everyone will face. But if you did face and feel like you were dumb, no, don't. I was the same, and I didn't eat well, the appetite was gone, and I think I just slept through the flight and then landed at London airport, and I had to take train to Edinburgh. That's how my initial journey was planned. Yeah, it was all within the airport, so I didn't really get to see how the weather was outside. But I definitely know it was cold because it was December. I took the train after waiting for like 2 hours. I ate something. I can't remember very well. Maybe it was McD or something. Yeah, I had something I ate, and in the train, it was like around 5.5 hour journey to Edinburgh. And I completely slept again. I think it was just the tiredness. I never traveled this long, more than like nearly a day. So yeah, I slept through in the train as well and got down at Edinburgh railway station. That's when a biggest shock has come, because I just discovered that the trolley, the 20 kg bag trolley I had, the trolley wheel has broken, one of the trolley wheel. And that's it. I had no clue, like, what do I do now? I can't even drag, and it's 20 kg, and I had another bag around 8 kgs. So I was not even that strong girl. I was the soft girl and who didn't pick anything at home. So that was challenging. But what I did is I kept my luggage there, and I think I spoke to someone in the station and went to pick a SIM card. And firstly, let my parents know about my UK number, and also sent the UK landlord's number, I mean, to the property that I was moving. Actually, I arranged this. Back then, it was easier, and you could trust the landlords and the accommodation people easier. But than now. Now there are so many fake things, and anyway, back then it was fine. I was able to arrange my accommodation properly, and I spoke to my parents, and then I had no idea what to do. But then I managed to reach the escalator point, but there is no way I'll be able to manage those two bags on the escalator. It's very risky. I was so close to crying because I had no clue. I had no one to talk. It was the biggest shock to me. And then I think God has really heard my prayers, and he sent a man my way. I think he is the man that the people who help in the railway station, because he had this fluorescent jacket on him, and he came to me and he was like, "Oh, are you okay? You've been here. Are you fine?" And then he could see the watery eyes, because I was so close to crying, and I showed him my broken wheel of my trolley, and he said, "You're fine. It's okay. I'm going to help." And he also advised that we better go through the stairs, not the escalator. And while we were going through the stairs, and he spoke to me, he asked me about why I was here, and he told me about himself. I felt a little better after having conversation with him, because it was more than a day that I didn't speak to anyone after saying goodbye to my parents. So it was like, it felt really better. He really did say that I was brave enough to travel all by myself here, and I'll do good in my study for the purpose I'm here. He did say many kind words, and I really, really felt good. And he got me into a black taxi, and yes, told me goodbye. And yes, I got down at my property. There's going to be another twist now. Guys, I did so many dumb, silly things. Oh my God. I mean, in that moment, it wasn't silly, trust me. I was very scared. I cried as well. Now thinking of that, I was silly, but everybody goes through them, I think. So don't feel like if you're going through anything like this. I think it's very normal to go through silly, dumb things. So what happened next was, I had no clue or no idea about UK lock system. Okay, so that night was fine. Nothing happened that night. So I got down. I went into the room. Room was nice. I adjusted. I got shower, ate some random things I didn't even know. So the next day, what happened was my phone was inside my room, and the room has this automatic lock. So you need to like keep the button left to your, I don't know how to explain, but those who are in the UK, you'll get it. Or those who know that lock system will get it. So I didn't do that. And I just, I tried to go to the kitchen, I guess. And I locked myself out. That's it. My phone was inside. Everything was inside. I was in my pajamas outside my room. Oh my God. I had no idea about that lock system because it was just my second day. Like, I just spent a night there, and in the morning I don't know how to communicate, how to ask. All I know is my father's number by heart, nothing else. That too, and my father's Indian number. So what I did was I went outside and knocked the neighbor's door, and the guy came, and I told him the whole story and said, please could I make call to my parents, but it's an Indian number. He was like, no, my, it'll cost me this. I said, I have cash, I'll give you, but I need to get inside to even to give pay you cash. I'll pay whatever I want, whatever you ask me for, but I just need to do this. And I, all I know is just my father's number. So he did allow me to make that call, and I'm really thankful that there was a neighbor existing there. So I called my father and said, the other good thing I did, if you remember, in the airport I sent the landlord's number. So I told my father, and I asked him to call to the landlord and say my situation and all that happened. So my father called all this while I was outside. So outside in the sense, not outside of the flat, but outside my room with no phone or anything. I was in the kitchen, and I think, yeah, there was no hall for that property. It was just the kitchen and the washroom. So I was in the kitchen. And after a while, the landlord's father, someone who lives in Edinburgh, has come and tried to open with the keys and told me this, that, explained, but they were really upset with what I did. And yeah, that was another thing, another silly dumb thing, but not at that time, but now maybe, that has happened. And I was crying that night to thinking, why did I choose this life? Why? Because I couldn't take all of it at once, the yesterday situation, and I had nobody to talk to. And yeah, that was very, very scary as well, because imagine yourself being locked out without your phone, and there is nobody to talk to. And thank God there was a neighbor, so I could make that phone call. So yeah, that was how my very first 2 days in Edinburgh. And then things started to get real more, because it's the university time, that's the whole point. So I didn't had any idea about this Google Maps, buses, situation, nothing, because back in India I never used maps. Okay, that was quite challenging, but my other flatmate helped me how to look for buses and how to see on the maps, but it was still confusing to me. So where I got confused was on the bus stops, it says from city to city. I just got very, very confused. I missed the orientation because I was very late. I went to the other side of the city instead of my university. And I didn't eat food because I was all in this confusion. I was starving, and all I had was cash because I didn't have my bank account. So I got into the bus, and I didn't have like change in the sense, like the coins. All I had was the notes. So for one way, you pay £1.20 your bus ticket. But me, I started putting the £5 notes for every time I get into the bus, and all I did was get down for every 3 stops. I don't know how much money I wasted, guys, but I wasted a lot of money because I had no knowledge about it in the beginning. And I even tried going to the small shops to get the change, and all they said like was like, you need to buy something here, only then I'll give you the change. So I had to buy the Quavers crisps and stuff, and that was my lunch breakfast, to be honest, because I had no idea what to eat. Like, the frozen food is not my thing. In India we never eat frozen food, do we? But even to figure out things by myself, it's all an experience. But I now think I'm really glad that I had all that experience. But back then I really struggled because food and everything was very difficult. I starved and lost lots of weight. So after a few days of missing buses, directions, ending up in wrong places, getting scared, cried so many times in between, broke down literally in the buses as well. I spoke to so many bus drivers to exactly give me the location and everything. I figured out. Slowly, I got better going in the same routes. I really got better with the directions and using the maps. And I started feeling, okay, I'm now settling here slowly. And now I'm getting to know Edinburgh. I really counseled myself. It's fine. You're going to feel okay. It's just going to take some time. And for the food, I used to go to Morrison's. That was very nearby. But I used to get these fish cakes, okay? And I used to like try to use the hob to just heat them instead of the microwave, because microwave had this weird smell because everybody in the flat used to use it. I didn't really want to use it. And on the hob, it used to only fry on the top, the batter, and the inside fish cake used to be very raw. And when I used to just eat the batter and throw the fish, my food was just, oh my God, I can't even say. It was very bad, the food choices I picked. And one day, in my head, let me try cooking. I got the potatoes, I got tomatoes, onions, the basic stuff, and I looked up in the YouTube and I started cooking. But the things I missed is, I only saw the procedure, but the things I missed is how long you need to put the potato to fry or boil or whatever. I just wanted it to be done. So I started cooking, and my flatmate started encouraging because it smells so good. Obviously it's Indian spices, they're gonna smell very good no matter what you're doing. So it started really smelling nice, and I was so confident, oh my God, I'm just going to like do this really well. I'm going to flaunt this curry now. I'm now a chef. And after cooking, I think I did it very, very fast. I didn't let the onions fry or, you know, the potatoes to actually cook. And after the curry was over, like I mean, the point where I thought like, yeah, the process is done. And I tried to taste the curry. It was so watery first thing. The potatoes didn't cook. The onions were not fried. It just ended up in the bin. It was so bad, and I thought, I'll never cook. I don't know cooking and I shouldn't try things. That's what I thought in my head. And again, ended up going buying some, I think I bought this time chicken, battered chicken. It was better than fish. And yeah, I started eating them. And after a few days, I really wanted to eat chicken curry because I was craving so bad. And I went to Dishoom. And yeah, money was not a problem for me at that point because my father like sent me with 8-9 months of like rent, food and stuff. Like I can go for 8 to 9 months, and he also paid my university fee. So I was not financially bad at all, and there was no pressure for me to pay anything or anything. But I ended up spending a lot of money, guys, because it was all because of no knowledge or not aware of anything. But I slowly figured out, even though I wasted money, I figured all by myself. So I think for the chicken curry, I did manage to get chicken and tried. The thing I noticed with the other stuff is I'm not frying enough. That's when I managed to cook it better, and slowly I understood, okay, this is what I need to do. And that's how I figured out cooking slowly. The basic things, I was not a pro back then. This is the story back in 7 years ago. So yeah, that's how I slowly started figuring out cooking, transport. I managed to get my bank account. I managed to get my rider card, which is the bus card here in Edinburgh. These all figuring out all by myself gave me a lot of confidence that I can do anything. Anything I can do myself. It gave me all that confidence. And even in the university, the first thing is I never was into getting part-time. I need to get part-time. But in my head, I know that I need to get part-time just so that I have my own money and don't have to like take money from my home. And so I got my laptop and yeah, I started applying for part-time. But my full-time focus was on my studies. That's the best thing I did. And after the first term, I think after 3 months, I got job a part-time in Greg's. And yeah, that was nice. I didn't take like, you can work 20 hours per week if you were a student, but I think I only took like an 8 hours a week contract, so I have more time for my studies. And since then, for every subject and every thing, I started getting distinctions because my total focus was on studies. And yeah, that way I started figuring out things. And in my free time, I used to travel a lot, like the nearby cities like Stirling, Linlithgow, Glasgow, like so many other cities, Highlands, all by myself. And then I met someone at Greg's, my other friend, and we both used to travel together and explore nearby cities, day trips. And that's how life started getting exciting to me. And yeah, I really started enjoying then about everything about life in Edinburgh. And the other good thing is I managed to get a job within the university, which was also a part-time job. So there was this career options and roles that were open. And I applied for the lab demonstrator for chemistry to teach bachelor's students and to help them within the lab. And I barely worked at Greg's after getting this job. So it was just there. And I used to maybe like go for once in a week. But the lab demonstration job, I took that really serious. It really helped me improve my skills. And it really developed a lot of my personality as well, like the communication, helping, more knowledge. Because the basics, sometimes you just forget about your basics. So it also helped me with my studies. And yeah, that was one best thing that really helped me. And it really stood out on my CV as well. As a fresh graduate applying for my jobs after university, it really stood out on my CV as well. So I highly encourage you guys, whoever is still a student, to start applying for careers within the university while you are a student. You don't have to wait until you graduate. You can still apply for any internships or any small roles that you can help the bachelor students. So go for it. Looking back now, I feel like those early days taught me so much about myself. But what I miss about home is something I cannot explain in words. Home is always home. It's not just a place, but it's a feeling that you just can't express in your words. Even though I'm building my home here away from my home, nothing can match it. Trust me, I still miss it every minute, every second. But I'm very proud of what I'm shaping here. So these were just the early days of me in UK, the small struggles. And I can't actually explain every little bit, but I tried to cover as much as I can. But I will slowly dig a little deeper into other stuff about universities, my studies, and other stuff that I faced. And all this was just the outline of my initial days, but the future episodes will be all about them. And so a little advice I would love to give to anyone who is considering to move abroad: don't do it as a temporary decision just because you want to get yourself out of a situation. Don't do it. Do it for a proper purpose, what you want out of it. There needs to be a reason. If you have a career path, if you're seeing that path in this place, that's why you want to have a reason for it. And research your course. Don't just pick any course just to get yourself a seat. Only select a course that you think you are interested in and you would see your future career in it. And yeah, and don't worry about if I'll get a part-time job or not, if I do this or not. You can't have every information. You need to go through some situations for you to understand and figure out. Not everything will be handed over to you in like a memo, if you know what I mean. So you will just be fine. You just need to start somewhere with a clarity. That's it. That's the advice I would give to anyone who is considering to move abroad. So that's a little window into why I moved abroad and what my first days in the UK looked like. I hope this felt like a cozy and crazy voice note from me to you. Thank you for being here for my episode one, and I can't wait to share more stories in the next one. So, and if there's something specific that you'll love me to talk about, just drop me a message and I would love to hear from you. Until next time, bye.